8 days after his Collingwood team had lost last year's grand final, Nathan Buckley and family travelled to Europe. And here, he tells us why. Also, he gives us an insight into how he stopped sacrificing today for tomorrow. Nathan, thanks for your time today. Entering 2019, it's obviously a different backdrop to the one you and your club had upon entering 2018. What impact has that had on you?
Look, we all evolve, and we all are a product of our environment in some shape or form. So my experiences in football have all sort of impacted on sort of where I am at this point. As a player, as an assistant coach, and as a coach in the media for a couple of years. I love the industry. It's something that has been a passion in my life. There's things that you're in control of, things you're not, things that go your way and things that don't. I've loved sort of the journey most of the way. There's been some times when you get resentful or you might not appreciate the focus that's coming. Right now I'm enjoying footy as much as I ever have.
You've always given the impression that you have embraced everything about it, and you just touched on there. There's obviously some moments you haven't, and understandably, but your ability to embrace everything that's thrown your way, is that the key to what you feel you've become?
I've always been open-minded. Like, I've have an element of stubbornness to me, and a belief, I suppose, in how you go about it, but I fundamentally, I know that I'm the same person I have been all along. Fundamentally, I'm made the same way. The values that my mum and dad instilled in me are still there, and they've come through. And at times, you sort of lose your way, and you meander through life, inevitably towards the direction that you're probably to find the best version of yourself. So that's been a journey for me. I've really enjoyed taking that journey with the Collingwood Footy Club in many roles. The club I'm a part of now is the club that I've always wanted to be a part of, and the role that I'm playing now in regards to my influence on the football club is probably the role that I've always wanted to play. So regardless of success on the field, which I think is a product of your environment anyway, the other stuff, the actual building blocks and the DNA are heading in the right direction, and they're never done, but it's a good place to be.
And that reference there to the role that you're now doing is the one you've always wanted to do. What's allowed you to get to that moment?
Oh, I think it's just the structure of the organisation. The structure of the organisation, the trust and capacity of the people in key roles, the united vision and very simple vision that we want to achieve, and the fact that we're prepared to work together. So they're probably the things that enable that. And then there's the personal circumstances of being in the right headspace of having the right level of drive and experience to be able to really handle situations that you're confronted with and still be genuine and real and be yourself through them, because as we know, it's a fairly public existence, and you can get waylaid trying to fight fights that you don't necessarily need to be fighting, or be focusing on things that aren't actually taking you in the direction you want to be taking it.
Yep. Just a couple of words you've mentioned there, journey and headspace. I suppose they link here when I ask you what and why you went overseas the way you did. A week after the grand final of last year, you went to Europe, you came back a couple of times, but just the thinking behind going and actually going and what you did there, if you wouldn't mind taking us
Well, this
through
is probably
that.
The probably the difference between reality and perception. It had nothing to do with football. It was just to take my family away. And so the boys were out of school and out of term four. Good timing for them in their lives.
That in itself is a big decision, isn't it, to take young kids out of a term of school?
Yeah, well, nearly every person I've spoken to says that if they haven't done it, would have said, well, that would have been a good thing to do. Mm. If they're not quite at that age, I think, well, we'd like to do something like that. And then, you know, you talk to one in ten that have done it. So, no, it was all about family. And really, I was back for the pre-season in December, and the boys had a great experience. The family had a great experience, and yeah, it was football was definitely not a consideration in that regard. And I had the support of the people at the footy club to do what I wanted to do for my family.
And given, I think the departure date was the Sunday of the weekend after the grand final, did you make the decision to go long before that, or how did it come about?
I probably decided to go in early August. Mid-July, early August. So, yeah, when the wheels left the tarmac on the Sunday after the Copeland, it was a bit of a, geez, that happened pretty quick. So, it was a bit of a whirlwind, but, you know, it was an exciting time.
What did you get out of it?
Headspace, just, you know, really just time with family and, you know, relationships with, with the boys and time away with Tanya. It was... I recommend it. I think it's a good thing to do with a young family.
Mm. That's the first thing that goes in a football person's life, isn't it? Particularly one like yours, as a coach of the biggest club in the land, the time with family.
Yeah, it can. But one thing I've learned is we all have aspirations to be something or to go somewhere or to achieve something. Every day that you're living is your opportunity to live it the way that you want to live it. Now, you have to make sacrifices as you go along to be who you want to be. But if you can find that balance in your life and keep tipping into the important parts of your life, well, then there's no reason why you can't be living your best life right now. So I think I delayed gratification and sort of had this ideal that you could sacrifice today for tomorrow for a long part of my life, let alone, you know, my playing career and different parts of my life. But... no, I want my cake and eat it now.
Mm. Have you got gratification?
Yeah, absolutely. Not what I thought it would be, which was ultimately about the ultimate football achievement, I suppose, winning premierships. But I think that and that's still they're still up for grabs. But as we spoke to our group about sort of by coming towards the end of the year, like, that wasn't necessarily going to define us. In the short term, it definitely does, but it's not really going to define you whether you win this premiership or you don't. And it was interesting even having that discussion with the players, because the old school mentality has straight away pops up and says, well, it's got to mean more to you than that. But I think we saw by the way that our players went about it that it meant something to them.
You've never made excuses, Bucks, as we've touched on already, and as you've always carried yourself from your day you played senior footy. But do you ever have, gee, I've been unlucky moments?
No.
Because you've had a lot, or a few big ones.
No, there's no poor bugger me, I reckon.
Not even when you put the head on the pillow at some nights after a bad day?
I'm not impregnable. Like, it's not as if I don't have feelings or emotions, although that's the way that I've been portrayed at times. But I'm very optimistic person, I know I'm quite resilient, can always see the good in opportunities. When I say always, the majority of the time I can see the good. And I believe that my best efforts will be contributory to the best outcomes and will ultimately be rewarded. I just think there's not a lot of give up in my mentality. So, I wallow like everyone else, but I don't know if I stay there as long as some.
Mm. When McGovern, when you think McGovern gets the ball, kicks to Vardy, kicks to Ryan, kicks to Sheed, 110 seconds left of an AFL season, you're in front, and then that sequence of events means you're not in front, you don't win the ultimate prize. You still don't have a, gee, I'm unlucky moment?
No, No, I'm pretty good at staying in the moment, and that's so I'm in this moment. This is 4 months post grand final. There were elements early in the game that we've looked at that, you know, we could have executed better and gone into half time, you know, 4 or 5 goals up instead of 2, which would have made a bit of difference. You know, we held up really well through the second half when West Coast were controlling, for the most part, the territory in the game in their front half. And even in that last bit of play, if you look behind the ball, our defenders were in perfect position for that exit kick from McGovern. Vardy had tripped over chasing Brody Grundy and stood up and popped up and was on his own. But our defenders executed exactly the way that we would have expected them to, and there was 3 blokes within half a metre when the ball, you know, when Vardy took that mark. So there was a lot of things that we did right through the whole game, through the whole season. But ultimately the best team on the day was West Coast and proved they were the best team in the season. And that was last year, and now there's another opportunity, and we've taken some great strides and we've got a chance to reinforce that. So that's what we focused on.
Super Bowl 53 is not long gone. Patriots winning their 6th in recent times. The year before, about a year ago, Nick Foles, the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, made some post-match comments which seemed to resonate with you. And I'm just going to quickly paraphrase how he addressed the fact that people shouldn't be afraid to fail, that unfortunately so many people live their lives through what they see on Twitter and Instagram, where it's a highlight reel, and ultimately life is about failures more than the highlight reel. I'm paraphrasing here, Bucks, but it seemed to resonate with you that his comments about how he got to that moment last year were through a combination and many failures. You seem to embrace that particular statement just in what you said at the time.
Yeah, it's real. And anyone that has, spent time on an endeavour, and for a period of time, has periods where they're 2 steps forward, 1 step back. Sometimes it looks like you're never going to be able to get where you want to get to, whether it's in a career, in a business career, or in a personal sense, in a family situation, NFL, AFL. It's life is and life is hard to predict, and progress isn't linear. I think he actually said that it's not a straight line. There is ups and downs, and there is zigzags. So I've probably got to understand that. The journey has taught me that more, and it's probably had me more understanding of supporting the people in our organisation or the people in my life through times when they're not necessarily going that well. So to understand it better is to be able to have more empathy and to support people through it more. And you're actually a little bit more understanding of yourself as well when you're in those periods.
You do that, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and there's the little things. I mean, I think social media has a lot to answer for. It's it can cause a lot of problems, but at the same time you find snippets like that are actually that resonate and can actually reinforce some really positive perspectives that can take you forward.
You're going through a period of your coaching life now where, as we speak, a contract extension seems inevitable. I don't want to talk about that. I don't even want to talk about the lead up to the last contract extension which you got against what was thought to be the odds. But what I'd do, if you don't mind, just asking you to delve into the feeling you had when you knew you were going to be given another 2-year go at a job that you coveted, that you loved, and that you hadn't at that point succeeded in. What did it mean to you, and what has it allowed you to do to become this person who now says he's gratified with everything?
Yeah, well, look, if I reflect on that, there's no doubt that I'd reached a point where if the club chose to go in a different direction, I was okay. So the feeling of being ratified to go again was probably not as euphoric as people would suspect. It was okay, thank you, because I know we've got a lot of work to do and let's get to work. The review had taken place, and Walshy and had been huge. Peter Murphy And we'd got a lot of good information out of our reviews the 3 or 4 years previous, but this was a little more extensive and it's probably a little bit more pointed from an external focus perspective on me. But no, look, it was you know, let's get to work. And I'd already projected forward and had already started, you know, planning on the right result. And I've always been of the belief that we serve the football club whilst we're there, and I've served the club in many different roles. If it's better for the club, for certain individuals, and I'll say myself in this instance, to not be there or to be in a different role or to accept a different responsibility, well, then that needs to take place because the club is paramount.
You're listening to In the Game with Damien Barrett, footy's number one newsbreaker. He's always at the coalface of the biggest stories in the game. Now in 2019, Damien Barrett will be joined in conversation by some of the most influential figures in football in his new weekly podcast, In the Game, exclusive to afl.com.au and the AFL app. Subscribe to In the Game with Damien Barrett wherever you get your podcasts or connect with Damien via @BarrettDamien on Twitter.
Obviously, you've changed, Nathan. You referred to that here, and people do change. Relationships get broken. Relationships can get patched up. Just one example that seemingly from the outside is the Dane Beam situation with you. It was appearing to be rocky for a period, and it now appears to be very rosy, given what's happened in the most recent trade period. Can you give us some insight into how that got to where it got to and where it is now?
Yeah, I think that question and that reality gives me the opportunity to talk about is the fact that what is reported is not often reality. There's often a massive gap between what takes place and the way things are perceived, because it's like Chinese whispers. I mean, you're so far, the punters are so far away from what actually takes place, and there's so many different views and opinions and colouring to events that by the time it gets to, you know, fresh air, it can be misconstrued, absolutely. So there's no doubt that I would have preferred Beamsy to stay at the club. I think that there was some things that happened that he wasn't altogether happy with to leave the club. But the reality was that his old man was crook and he wanted to be around him. And the club accepted that, even with a year to run his contract, we accepted that. And Beamsy's come back in, and you know, he's 4 years, 5 years older. The club's 4 or 5 years more advanced, and you know, in some ways, you know, with more experience and more understanding of what it is, as we all do. We'll explore that and see where we can actually get to. He's an elite talent. And he's a very passionate young man, always has been. He's got some awesome traits. He's very stubborn and single-minded, and that's a massive positive when things are going well, and it can be equally as challenging when it goes the other way for him and for the people that are around him. But
was that you at one stage of your?
No, don't worry. Our greatest strengths, it's true, our greatest strengths can be our greatest weaknesses. It's just a matter of being in the right environment and having others that understand you well enough to get the best out of you. And I mean, Beamsy's a young fella. He's still a young man. He's a young father. He's lost his dad now, and that is a challenge for him. We're coming up to the anniversary of his father's passing. And he's still, you know, at his age, I was just going through one of the first big sort of shifts in my life and who I was as a person, the way that I wanted to be. So he's still a young man, and you know, we feel a real responsibility to support him and to help him along and find that next evolution for him off the field as much as we'd like to maximise his footy talent.
You refer there to people needing people around them to help them, and obviously with someone who's wide like he is, and as you said, there's similarities with yourself at a given point in time. Who's most shaped you, as you've now clearly shaped so many young men?
Oh, look, the list is endless, to be honest. And you're not always shaped by positive experiences either, yeah, or by people that have supported you. Sometimes it's sometimes it could be a way that you have been treated or dealt with that you recognise is not the way that you would want to be. So you can learn from negative experiences as much as positive. There's no doubt. It's all a matter of what perspective you put on it. But as I said, the club I'm a part of now is the club I've always wanted to be a part of. And I've been at Collingwood for 25 years, so I'm enormously proud of the place that we are now. And it is just a moment in time, but we have an opportunity to reinforce this attitude that we carry, the support for one another, the open-mindedness and the willingness to explore how good we can be. I mean, I like the club. We're a little less ego-driven, and we've got a chance to make that generational. So there's a bigger picture underneath going into the 2019 season, and I'm loving being a part of that.
Yeah. Just a couple of questions about belief, just to finish this conversation, if you don't mind. Belief, you've always had it. Yeah. Getting it, I suppose, expressed through a group of young players. It happened last year. Was it the round four game in Adelaide, that Friday night game, that allowed you to convey that belief you clearly had in yourself and ultimately that you felt you had in your players to their minds and therefore, and by extension, the community?
Yeah, that was a significant game for us. And I think in any evolution, you sort of have key moments that you either hit or you don't hit. You either nail or you miss. So that round four game was important for us. You know, we'd lost the first two. We'd able to sort of just grind a win out against Carlton, and then to go over and to travel and really nail down some of the things that we believed that we'd been able to improve on through the pre-season but hadn't really seen come through, you know, at that point. So the fact that they'd flogged Richmond a couple of weeks earlier, I think, was validation for us, and that we were so dominant on the night. But once again, it was really interesting. We didn't get carried away. Like, our players just, you know, matter of fact, and it was a good feeling, but it was just, okay, well,
we can do
it. If we can play like that now, like, what can we do? So hopefully they still feel the same way, and, you know, we'll jump into this season. We've got Geelong, Richmond, and then West Coast. So we're going to get some really good feedback from our early opponents, you know, teams that we clearly rate and are around the mark. So we'll either get some validation or some really good feedback on where our pre-season has got us, how we're handling the rule changes and what work that we need to do for the rest of the season. But I think we get so caught up in round one, early rounds, it's good to win them. But most of the premier teams, most of the top four teams improve as the season progresses, and you know, we hope to be able to do that no matter how well or poorly we start.
And that belief you clearly finished last year with, it's obviously carried through the pre-season, but will you need to attempt to make that a different type of belief to deal with what you're up against this year?
No, I think we're still yet to maximise the mentality and the attitude of last year. So there's a lot of growth and positivity around that. There's still some exploration that we can do internally to find our best. So I don't know what some losing grand final sides, I don't know what they feel, whether they think that they need to, or even sides that have won flags, where they feel they need to change it up, turn it upside down, start again, change this much or change that much. I don't know. All I know for us is that we've got a pretty strong belief in the manner that we've gone about it, and we'll continue to explore that. There are things that will shift on field, but, you know, it might look very different by round 12 with the exposure that we're going to get through the season. And we're going to stay open-minded and agile to find the best solution to challenge the best sides if we can, and that's what any side wants to do. But we've maintained our major focuses and our major attitude through this pre-season that we carried through, you know, the last 18 months.
Yeah. Nathan Buckley, I appreciate your time today.
Thanks, mate.